Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. We're just about all the way through the fourth chapter, so let me just remind you what we've been looking at. The Lord through the Spirit, moving through the author, whoever he or she may be of Hebrews, is trying to communicate something to the people that were receiving this letter, okay? Also communicating something to us because the Father left this for us in the form of Holy Writ, okay? So we need to keep this in mind. Remember what he said at the very beginning. There's several therefores. So the first verse of the fourth chapter said, therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you comes short of it. So the idea is that of entering into the rest. We've seen it from the third chapter into the fourth chapter here. And he's using the example of the children of Israel in one situation, how they did not enter into the rest of the promised land because of unbelief and disobedience. Also in his fourth chapter, in the fourth and fifth verse, he talks about it's the same way that God rested on the seventh day from all his works, that we are to enter into the rest. Well, then the sixth verse is, therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and he starts talking about how some enter in the rest and some didn't. And he quotes David, and he says, today is the day to hear his voice. Today is the day to not harden your hearts. And he's saying, enter into the rest. And then he used Joshua as an example. He said, if Joshua, who is the one who led the children of Israel into the promised land, if he had given them the final true rest, then he wouldn't have spoken of another day. But then the writer gets down to it in verse 9. He said, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of the Lord. And the one who enters, verse 10 says, for the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. So what we see is that the true rest of the true believer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 11, he says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. And then he gives that great example in the 12th verse about the Word of God being a living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, verse 14 is where we're going to pick it up. Therefore, there's three more verses left in this chapter, and it begins with another therefore, and the last verse ends with another therefore. So he says, verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Remember what we've been dealing with from the very beginning. He's communicating to them that Jesus is better. Jesus is the better confession. Jesus is the better Sabbath rest. Jesus is, his words better than the words of the prophet. Jesus is better than the angels. All these things, that Jesus is above all. Jesus is the better high priest. He is the great high priest. So the therefore here is said, therefore, let us hold fast our confession. He's exhorting these folks to hang on to what they had professed, to what they had confessed, okay, to realize that that is the truth. We saw it in the second chapter, I believe, where it said to give heed to the things that you have seen, to where you that you've heard, to where you don't drift away. So he's letting know to do that, but we're not doing that by our own fleshliness or soulishness or by our own volition. It's because we have a great high priest who's passed through the heavens, who has passed from life into death and was resurrected from the dead and is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. We have that, Jesus, the Son of God. So because of that, folks, hold fast that confession. Verse 15 says this, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And so he gets in, later on, he'll get in some things about the priest, and you see the balance of the scripture talks about how the priest under the Mosaic law, they were humans. Okay, they were men just like us. What he's saying here is that Jesus is not a great high priest who does not sympathize with our weakness. It's the same way that it was with the human high priest. They sympathized with it because they experienced the same type of weaknesses and temptation. He's saying that Jesus is the great high priest who was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He did not sin. He was tempted in the same way that we are. Now, I know sometimes people try to get twice too cute with this. I know Jesus wasn't tempted to blow the car horn at somebody because they didn't have cars back then, right? But Jesus was tempted with that, with impatience or with short suffering instead of rather than long suffering, with anger. He was tempted in all ways as we are. So he can sympathize with our weakness, yet he did not sin. Now, Hebrews 4, verse 16, the last therefore. Therefore, in light of all this, in light of the fact that we have a great high priest, in light of the fact that he is our Sabbath rest, which we need to be diligent to enter into, okay? Be diligent. Remember, he said the fear that you won't enter into it. to be diligent to enter into it. Because of all this, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Spirit is acknowledging here that these folks were undergoing trials and tribulations and persecutions. And he's saying, rather than bail out, rather than saying, hey, this is just too hard, this is too tough, I'm going to go back to the life of Judaism. That's particularly what they're talking about here, being tempted to go back to that way, which gives us some major hints that their tribulations might be coming from their fellow Jews that are unbelievers. He's saying, rather than being tempted to do that, do this. Hold fast that confession. Okay, hang on to the confession. Be diligent to enter into the rest. But even more so, draw near to the throne of grace. But notice how we draw near to the throne of grace with confidence. Not our confidence, but confidence in what Jesus, as the great high priest, has done for us. We can draw near to that throne of grace. We can draw near to him, knowing that we will receive mercy and that we'll find grace to help in time of need because Jesus experienced it. He can sympathize with us. He experienced being tempted, but he set the example for not succumbing to that. You know, their mindset is very much like our mindset is so often that, you know, we want to just get away from it. We want to just sort of bail out on everything. We're thinking God doesn't understand, Jesus doesn't understand. Nothing could be further from the truth, folks. So let us do that one last time. Let us be diligent to enter his rest. Let us hold fast our confession and let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Why? To where we will receive mercy and that we'll find grace in the time of need. Again, I'm Dale. Think about these things, and I'll see you again next time.